All right, we're going to start here on the bottom of Chaf Amud Bet, 8 lines up. Bayrami Barchama, hayu muchzakim b'tavla shehi shela, v'get katuv alea. They have a tablet of some sort of writing material, but is known to belong to the woman herself. And then we have a get written on it, v'hi yotzah mitachat yado, and he is giving it or granting it to her, mahu. What is the din? So the question revolves around the issue of ownership, which is that the husband has to give the get to the woman. And if the tavla belonged to the woman, then he's taking her property and returning her property to her, and therefore it should not be a get. So what we want to know is, when the woman gave the tavla to the husband, did she literally give it to the husband and give him full ownership so that when he returns it's a get? Or did she simply lend it to the husband? And if she lent it to the husband, then it doesn't work because it remained in her possession the whole time, and therefore he's not giving her anything. Now this does connect to the original takana, which requires that the woman actually pay for the cost of the sofer to write the get. Now that wasn't punitive, but rather supposed to be helpful for the agunot, so that would not be an ikuv in getting the get. The fear was that if the husband had to pay for the writing of the get, he would just refuse to pay for the writing of the get, then she wouldn't get her get. So what they did was they had the woman pay for the get, and that way we were sure that the get would get written, and then the chachamim are mafkir the get after she's paid for it through hefker beit din hefker, and grant that right or give the get back to the husband. So that's how it works in a normal case. Over here, the problem is deeper than that, because over here it's not a maisa beit din, but rather there's some sort of interaction between the husband and wife, and we're trying to figure out if that interaction took place in a proper manner. So that's what the Gemara says. Mi aminan aknuye aknita lei. Do we say that she gave over full ownership to her husband in order that he can return it as a get? Odilma lo yadala aknuye. Or maybe she doesn't know how to do that. Now whether she doesn't know how to do that is either because, we'll see in a second, she's a woman, and we'll discuss why that is. As a woman, she doesn't know how to do that. Or it's simply she doesn't understand what needs to happen over here. Not just because she's a woman, but there's a problem of understanding what needs to transpire over here. So Amar Abaye, Tashma, Av hu yeid al kfar katan shaya b'tzad Yerushalayim. So this is from a Sechet Ediot, where they had an Edut with regards to this individual, about a kfar katan, small village that was near Yerushalayim. V'yobo zaken echad v'yamalveh l'chol b'nei akfar. This individual was a creditor, basically, to the entire village. He was a wealthy individual, he was successful, and he was able to lend money to everybody in the village. And all the shtarot were written in his own handwriting. And other people were signing on them, obviously, because if it was just written in his handwriting, it wouldn't be sufficient, because just the fact that he says it doesn't mean it's true. So we have to have Eidim there sign him. And there the Chachamim said it was fine. What was the problem? Vamai. Why should that be okay? Habi'inan sefer makneh. We know from the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and we'll see it again in the Masechta, that that is the paradigm of what a shtar should look like, based on the pesukim in Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu is instructed by Hashem to purchase a field, and they go through all of the process of the transaction. So part of that was a sefer makneh, which means that the individual who is selling the field has to be the one who writes the contract, or we want evidence of the fact that the one who sold the field was actually the one who sold the field, and therefore the contract comes from that individual, not from the individual who is purchasing the field. So over here, if this individual was lending out money to the entire community, whether he was foreclosing on these properties, or whether it seems that the way the Tosfot says it over here, if he was lending to them and he was wealthy, he was probably transacting as well and buying their fields. And here we have no evidence of the fact that the people selling the fields are the ones that are writing the contract. He's writing the contract. So we see here, despite that fact, we say it's fine. Elala mishum darmina naknuye makne lahu. So how does it work here with the contracts? We assume that this individual, after he writes the contracts and has them signed, he hands them over to the selling party, and then the selling party gives it back to him, so that there is a proper kinyan through the shtar. But the shtar is not coming from him, it's coming from the selling party. So we see here that we do trust people to, even after they have written the shtar, to hand it to the party that needs to have it in hand. Samaravo, my kushya, Dilma Zakain Shiny, the other Knuye. Maybe a Zakain is different because he knows how to give over a kinyan. So over here again, seems to be because he's a Zakein, either he is very experienced, or Zakein is also a term sometimes for Chacham, or Talmid Chacham, that he's aware of the halacha over here, and therefore he knows what to do in this instance. But that doesn't mean that we would believe everybody to know how to transact or how to move the contract to the proper party. Happens to be in this situation, we did believe him. We'll learn it out from here. Arev, hayutze achar chitum shtarot. Arev is a guarantor, but the guarantor is signed onto the loan after the shtar is signed. So you have a shtar that is evidence of a loan between a creditor and a debtor. That shtar is signed by the edim, evidencing the fact that there was such a loan. After the signature of the edim, the arev signs on the document. Now when he signs on the document to guarantee the loan, he is outside the realm of the contract in a sense, because the signatories are the end of the contract. So that makes it that his signature might be binding, but only to the point of what we call equivalent of a milveh al peh, an oral type of loan. And therefore, goveh minichasim b'nei chorin. You can only take from unencumbered property, free and clear property. Because as we know, the reason that you're allowed to take from a shabdeh with a contract is because the edim are signed on it and they get into a call, they publicize the issue. The whole problem, again, we discussed this over and over again today, where you have a registry and you have a title to a property, you can always look up if there's someone who has a lien on the property, somebody who has some sort of loan against the property, and you can check it. And there they can't check it. So what do they rely on? They rely on the ability of people to publicize the issue that there are prior creditors or people have a previous lien on the property. How do you do that? You have people sign on the document. The edim that sign on the document will make it known or make it public that that is the issue. So over here, the arev, the guarantor, is after the edim. So as far as the loan itself has a right to collect from the debtor from his encumbered property. The only problem is the debtor has no money or no property. So now the creditor is going after the guarantor of the loan. The guarantor's signature is below the edim. And therefore, he doesn't have any publicity with regards to the fact that this creditor has a lien on his property. And for that reason, you can't go after encumbered property of this individual, because people who bought from him, creditors who lent to him, would have no way of knowing that he had guaranteed this other property. So there's no publicization of this issue. Therefore, you can only go after his b'nei chorin. Now, the question is, how was it engendered? The arev himself over here, when he guarantees the loan, what was the consideration by which he guaranteed the loan? With regards to the malveh and the loveh, I mean, the fact that the creditor gave the debtor money, then in exchange for that, he says he's going to repay it, or he encumbers his property to the creditor. Over here, the arev has no connection to this transaction whatsoever. He's getting nothing in return for guaranteeing it. In order to obligate himself in the guarantee, he has to have had some sort of kinyan that warrants this fact, or that obligates him in this guarantee. And we don't see that here. So how does he get engaged in the transaction? The assumption is that he had to make a kinyan somehow. Usually we would say it was a kinyan shtar. A kinyan shtar would indicate that he owned the shtar, and then he handed the shtar over to the malveh. And that's how they would have done it. That kinyan would have created the obligation for the guarantor here. The only problem is that the contract right now does not belong to the arev. And since it doesn't belong to the arev, how is he now obligated inside of this transaction? The malveh, the creditor, has the contract in hand. And the arev, to obligate himself, he would have to write the contract to obligate himself or hand over, make a kinyan, that does it. But the problem is that the contract sitting with the malveh, owned by the malveh. So how can the guarantor over here do a sefer makneh to obligate himself if he doesn't own the paper that he just wrote on, or he doesn't own the contract that he just wrote on? So how does he grant that to the malveh, to the creditor? Ella, what do you have to say? Malveh granted him ownership over the document so that when he signed on it and handed it back to the malveh, it went into effect. Tosfot over here discusses the fact that maybe that is not the vehicle by which a guarantor works. And Tosfot over here says that there are two models of how a guarantor can obligate themselves. One model is what the Gemara is discussing over here, where the guarantor actually owns the piece of paper or has some sort of shtar, and in handing that shtar over to the creditor, he obligates himself because of the kinyan. That's the Gemara Tadat. The other way Tosfot says it happens is that we think that he is modeh, that he is actually admitting to the fact that he owes the money, in a sense, which is that his handwriting or his signing onto the document, then the arev is now obligated because he admits that he is the arev here, or he admits that he owes the money to this creditor. And so that might be another vehicle that Tosfot discusses over here about how the arev obligates themselves. One is through a kinyan, the other one is through hoda'ah. Just like a debtor can obligate themselves by admitting to the fact that they owe the money, an arev can do the same thing. They can admit that they owe the money, and therefore they are a guarantor. So Tosfot speaks about those two different models, and that might be the model that's used. So Tosfot brings from other places in Shas, where Rashi and the Gemara seem to indicate that it's through hoda'ah that the arev is obligating himself, whereas our sugya seems pretty clear that the way that he obligates himself is through kinyan, and that has to be a kinyan shtar that obligates himself. Amar Rav Ashi, my kushya. What's the question here? Dilma gavra shiny, the other leknuye. Maybe men are different than women because men know how to do a kinyan. Women don't know how to do a kinyan. Over here again, the deficit can be on one and two levels, and it's not clear from the Gemara what the deficit is. One can be simply a halachic deficit, which is the women just didn't know the halachot that are associated with this. The men did know the halacha, or Zakein did know the halacha. The woman did not know the halacha, and that could be what is causing the difference. The other possibility is experience, which is that men who are actively engaged in commerce or in transactions had more experience with the fact that they had to make these kinyanim or how the kinyanim worked. A woman who was not actively engaged in this, that happens once in a lifetime maybe for her, or maybe twice, she didn't really have that type of experience and know what to do in these situations. So for one of those two reasons, there's a deficit here possibly for the woman, and we don't know if we can believe that she really, with a full heart, gave over the kinyan to her husband, because that's essential for this get to be effective, is that she gave her property to him in a full manner, so that he can return it and it'll be a proper get. Elam Ravashi Mihocha. Here Ravashi brings the conclusive proof, which is Isha kotevet et gita, vaish kotev et shovro. A woman can write her own get, or have her get written, and a man can have the receipt for the payment of the ktubah written. I mean that each one of them has the wrong document. She's writing her own get, which the husband should have written, and he's writing the receipt which he should get from the woman. She'ein kiyum get elo b'chotamav. Because the get itself is only effective as a get with its signatories. So the fact that she writes the get is not a deficit in the get. She can write the get and then hand it over to her husband, and her husband returns it to her. And the husband can write the receipt, hand it to the woman, and then she'll return it. So over here, it's clear that the woman is involved because she wrote her get, and she gives over to the Baal. And we see here in the Mishnah Nediot that it works, that she's able to have written her get and grant that full ownership over to her husband, or to be ex-husband, and have him grant her the gift, and we don't worry about the fact that whether she's giving it over with a full heart, or that she understands. We assume that she knows that that's the obligation of the husband, and she gives it over to her husband to give back to her, and it works. Right, well, either way, I mean that the get does not go effective by simply the writing of the get. The get is either effective because of the signatories to the get, or because of the mesirah. Either one of the two opinions, whether you hold a Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Elazar, the writing of the get itself will not be the koreit here, and therefore that's why she can write it, it won't be an issue. Tosafot asked this earlier on the previous Amud, what took so long for the Gemara to get to this Mishnah? This Mishnah is explicit. Why isn't that a proof that they bought immediately? Because it makes it obvious here that the woman can write her get, and why won't you bring that as a proof? V'yesh lomar, demati d'tchuye, that the Gemara here could have rejected this answer, the kotevet al klaf debal. Could have been that the case here in that Mishnah in Idiot is a case where the husband gave the parchment. All it says in the Mishnah is that she wrote the get. It doesn't say that she owns the klaf. Maybe that's a possibility that you could have answered, or you could have deflected this Mishnah as a proof by saying that simply the husband provided the klaf, and then she had the get written. And that actually, halachically, is what happens, because the husband does provide the klaf, and she pays the sofer for the writing. So then you could have argued that this is not really a proof to our case. Rav Ashi comes along and says, no, that's not the case. That Mishnah is speaking about a case where she has everything. It's her klaf, and it's her writing, and it's everything. But that's not obvious from the Mishnah. For that reason, it seems that the Gemara waited or deferred this answer because it's not clear that this is a perfect answer, even though, again, it seems overwhelmingly so that this is a good answer. But if you think about it more carefully, there is a deficit in this answer, and that's why The Gemara either didn't give this answer right away, here Rav Ashi interprets it in that manner. Okay, Amar Rava, Katav lav get, v'natano biyadav do. He writes a get to her, and then he puts it into the hands of his Eved, Eved Kenani. V'katav la shtar matana alav. Then he writes a gift to his wife, where he gifts this Eved to his wife. Kanatahu umitgareshet bo. Simultaneously, she acquires the Eved, and is divorced by the get that he is holding in hand. So here we know that the rules of a get are that the husband has to give the get to the woman, v'natan biyada. When he has to give it to the woman, it's to the woman or to her property, something that would be within her possession. So within her possession could be to her directly, could to be her shliach, to her agent, could be to her chatzer, at least that's Mishta Meret. It could be to her property that is guarded in some way or protected in some way. Or it could be to an Eved over here, which now became hers. That's her property. It's an extension of this idea of her property. So now what happened was he gave the get while he was still his Eved, but then he gifts the Eved to her. That means simultaneous with the gifting of the Eved, she receives the get, because then her property, in a sense, accepts the get on her behalf. We do not need her acquiescence. A woman can be divorced ba'al korcha. So we don't need her approval. We don't need her acceptance of the get. We simply need it to go into her possession. It is now in her possession, and it went directly from the husband's possession into her possession, because this Eved just switched from being the husband's to the wife's. And for that reason, the get becomes effective simultaneous with the exchange or the change in ownership in this Eved. When he gave the get to the Eved in the first place, it was his property. It was equivalent of still being in his hands. And then when he flips the ownership, it flipped, the get goes into her hands. It happens simultaneously, but he doesn't have to do it simultaneously. He can give the get to him earlier, and then do the exchange of property. So it's as if his long hand is still holding it. V'amai, why does this work? Chatzer malechati. There we have property, but it's property that's mobile. And property that's mobile does not accept a kinyan on your behalf. So how could this Eved, in the essence, when it switched ownership over to her, accept the get on her behalf? Chatzer malechet lo kana. And when you have mobile property or a mobile chatzer, it doesn't acquire on your behalf. V'chitema bo meid. So you'll say, he was standing still when it happened, so it's fine. But it says, Vamarova, kol she'ilu mehaleich, lo kana, omeid v'yoshev lo kana. If you can't acquire it when it's mobile and it's moving, then even when it is stationary, standing or sitting, it's also not kone. I mean, it's a fundamental problem in the object or in the chatzer. It's not something that is to do with whether they're in motion or not in motion. The fact that they can be in motion makes it that it's a chatzer malechet, which will not accept the kinyan on your behalf. V'hilchata, the answer is v'kavot, when he is tied up. When the Eved Kenani is tied up, so he is not mobile then. He's not mobile property, irrespective of whether he wants to be mobile or not. He's not going to be mobile because he is tied up. And therefore, he becomes a chatzer she'eino mehalechet. Now, Tosfot over here adds on, based on the Gemara later on in the Masechta, that it's not only that he has to be tied up, he has to be sleeping. He can't just be tied up. That is a machloket arishonim later on in the Masechta, as to whether the yashan aspect of it, the sleeping aspect of it, has to be brought together with the tied up aspect of it. So not only does he have to be tied up, he has to be sleeping, because your chatzer can't have dat. Your chatzer can't have its own independent thoughts or its ability to act independently. A chatzer is acting as an extension of you. That can only be true if all the decisions are controlled by you. But if this entity or this chatzer has independent ability to think and make decisions, then maybe it's not called a chatzer in the sense of an extension of you or of a yad of you. And for that reason, Tosafot believes you need both items. You need it to be kapot, tied up, so it's not mobile, and sleeping, so it has no dat. I mean that the Eved cannot exercise any thought here or any decision-making because he's asleep, and therefore he can act as a chatzer on behalf of the woman. Others disagree that yashan is not essential when the Eved is tied up. Again, we'll get to that later on in the Masechta on Daf Ayin Chet. Himir Tosva brings, says both Rashi and the Bahag later on, paskin like what Tosva is saying over here, that you need kafot v'yashan. You need both of them. Alright, so that's one halacha that we got from Rava about the exchange of the get through the exchange of property of the Eved Kenani. So when the matana of the Eved Kenani goes through, so too the get goes through at that simultaneously, and she is divorced on this. Now, Amar Rava, katav la get, v'tentano b'chatzero. He writes a get to her, and then he places it in his chatzer, in his property. V'katav lashtar matan alav, kanatuhu umitgareshet bo. So the same function or same way that it worked before the Eved, it's going to work over here. He has a piece of his property, his chatzer. So when he puts the get in his chatzer, it's still within his property. It's still within his possession. It's as if his long arm is still holding onto the get. Then he gifts the chatzer to her. Then with her acceptance of the chatzer, the exchange of the chatzer into her possession, she receives the get simultaneously, and it works. And the Gemara says, v'tzricha, why do we need both statements of Rava? Seems like he's saying the same thing twice, which is that by Eved Kanani, who has the din of real property, and here you have a chatzer, which is real property, and the same vehicle works in both cases, so why do I need both? Just have one of them, it should suffice. Dia Shamina and Eved, if I only had known about Eved, Avamina Davka Eved of a chatzer, when it comes to a chatzer, l'gzor mishum chatzera haba'a le'achar mikan. Because there is a risk when you deal with the chatzer, because there's a situation where it does not work. And that is, for instance, where the husband puts the get into a chatzer, and then the wife purchases the chatzer or is gifted the chatzer by that third party. It's not the husband's chatzer, but rather it's someone else's chatzer. So the husband puts it down there, and then the wife acquires the chatzer. In that case, the get does not work because of the problem that it didn't go from the husband to the wife. The fact that it didn't came into her possession, that's true, because when she buys the chatzer, the get comes into her possession. The problem is, it's not benatan biyada. It did not come from the husband to her. It had a stopover in between, which is in this third party's chatzer, that left the husband's possession, but yet to reach the wife's possession. There's no direct exchange from the husband to the wife. So there we would have a havamina that we should make a gzeira that chatzer should not work. Chatzer won't work because maybe you'll mix it up with the case of a chatzer that went through a third party, and so then we specifically tell you chatzer. V'yashminin chatzer. And if you only told us about the case of chatzer, havamina dafka chatzer. I would have thought, oh, only a chatzer. Aval eved, ligzor kafot, atu sheno kafot. You would make a gzeira for a tied up eved, atu to a case where the eved's not tied up. So maybe there you'd make a mistake. Kamash malon, then in both cases we allow the get to go through, even though there are risks that it will get confused with other situations. We believe that if the eved is tied up, nobody's going to make a mistake and do it when the eved's not tied up. And if you do it directly with the exchange of the chatzer from the husband directly to the wife, we think that will not get mixed up with the case of the property going through a third party, or the get going to a property of a third party and then purchased by the woman or received by the woman, that it doesn't work there and there's going to be no confusion about that. Tosfot does ask that even with the, it says, V'im tomar shmin and shapir mi eved delo gazrina mishum chatzera ba'ala hachar mikan. Because eved is also real property. So we don't there make a condition stipulation or worry about a gzeira where the husband hands it to an eved kanani of someone else, and then that other person gifts the eved kanani to the woman. We don't say that that's a good get, and we don't worry about that. So even within the case of eved, you see that we're not gozer for that possibility that there's a third party involved. Yesh lamar b'de eved v'adai lo gazrinin, dari v'kapot. Umilta d'lo shchichahi v'lo gazru b'harabanan. It says you can't bring evidence from the fact that they didn't make such a gzeirah by an eved because the case is already a far-fetched case. It's a case where you have to tie up an eved kanani and possibly according to Tosu be sleeping, and for that to go through or have to be the circumstance is going to be so unusual that the chamim, even if they thought there might be a possibility of mixing that up with a normal case of chatzerah me'achar mekan, they wouldn't have been gozer in this case because it's just too far-fetched. It's an outside chance, an extraordinary case. So therefore, we have to bring the case of chatzer, where it's a normal case, where this is a very likely scenario, where the get is given into chatzer, to show you that we're not gozer otu chatzera sheba mi'achar kan. That a chatzera that happens after the fact, because here we're doing it where it worked properly, we're not worried about the case about where it works improperly. I said, now Amar Abaye, Abaye here explains to us the vehicles by which this is working. Michte, chatzer mehecheit rabbe. How do we know that chatzer works as a vehicle for the acceptance of a get or the granting of a get? Miyada. It's an extension of yad. Chatzer mishum yad. Ma yada diita ben midata ben baal korcha. Just like yada, if the get is given into her hand directly, it is whether she wants it or doesn't want it, whether she accepts it or doesn't accept it, as long as it goes into her hand, the get is an effective get because it can happen baal korcha. Af chatzera. So to her, chatzer, de'ita ben midata o ben bi'al korcha. Then chatzer only works, again, if it's done in a way where the chatzer can function with her knowledge, or without her knowledge. And that's the way we have it. A get can be given into her chatzer, a mishtameret, whether she has knowledge about it or not. As soon as it reaches her possession, the get is an effective get, irrespective of what she knows or doesn't know. As long as it's in a secure place, that is an extension of her yad, like the chatzer is, then it is a good get. Ha? So Abaye concludes from this, matana, a gift, won't work. Demidata ita balkorcha leta. When it goes through a gift only works when a person is willing to accept the gift. A gift cannot be given against the will of the receiving party, because the receiving party can reject the gift. They can be mafkir, or they can relinquish their rights to a gift. As opposed to someone who already owns property, or something is in their possession, to relinquish that right is much harder. Or to say that they disown that property is much more difficult. On the other hand, before the property, before the item comes into your possession, the relinquishment of a right is much easier and simpler. You simply have to not accept the gift, not accept it coming into your possession. You have no obligation to take the property, and therefore you can reject it. So by a matana, by a gift, the woman can make a decision. Does she want the gift or she does not want the gift? The fact that she can't make a decision about it should be mafkiyad from the possibility of a get being exchanged in that manner. Rova here just brought us two examples of a case where the husband either put it into his chatzer, put it into his eved, gave it to his eved kanani, and then he gifts the chatzer to the woman, or he gifts the eved kanani to the woman. In gifting it, then the vehicle for the exchange is the matana. The gifting is what does it. It moves it from his hand to her hand. What Abaye says is, let's look. Chatzer, or property, works as an extension of your yad. And the qualifications, or the character traits of a yad, are that it happens whether you like it or not. That's the natan biyada, is whether she wants it or not. When you give it to her, she is divorced. So too, a chatzer works in the same way. Chatzer works because it's irrespective of her desire for it to work or not work, it will happen. If it goes into her chatzer, the get is effective. That's not true by the matana over here. For the case of the matana, she can opt out of the matana. She can say, I don't want it. And if she says she doesn't want it, obviously the get won't work. But more importantly, the mechanism of matana should not be a proper mechanism or a way, a vehicle to get her the get, because it doesn't have the properties or the character traits of a chatzer or yad, which is that it'll happen irrespective of what she wants. And that's Abaye's question over here. It seems to be that we have a problem here, that matana midata ita bal korcha leta, and therefore maybe it shouldn't work. So gamati la rav shimi barashi, bashlichut likabala, midata ita bal korcha leta. Wait a minute. Agency has the same problem. Agent, if she appoints an agent to receive the get on her behalf, it works. If she doesn't appoint the agent can't accept it on her behalf, because we saw that before. Everybody agrees that a get is to her detriment. And in chavim la adam shelo bifanav, you can be zoche for adam shelo bifanav, but a chuvah you can't do without the acquiescence or the appointment of the individual who wants you to be an agent. So do agency. If she has her agent go and pick up the get, she is divorced immediately when the agent receives the get. Why? Agency has the same deficit as matana, which is that agency only works if she wants the agent to be her agent. If she doesn't want the agent to be agent, it wouldn't work. V'kavi shliach l'kabbalah. And yet it works as a shliach l'kabbalah. V'abayi, atu shlichut miyado itrabe. Since when is shlichut the same as yad? What he points out is that there are two different methods or vehicles for the acceptance of a get. One is yad, which means the person himself accepts the get, and there, it's irrespective of whether the person wants the get or not. Anything that's an extension of yad has to function like yad, which means that chatzer, which is an extension of yad, has to function that way. And also, matana would have to function that way as an extension of yad. Shlichut comes to a totally different limud, which is, maybe shilach v'shilcha yitrabe. Shlichut comes from a gzerat ha-katuv that says v'shilach or v'shilcha. I mean, the word is v'shilcha with the mapikei, and we read it even without the mapikei. And for that, we darshan that the husband can send it through a shliach, and the woman can accept it through a shliach. I mean, it doesn't have to be directly from the husband to the wife. They can use agents to exchange the get. From there, we learn out that the woman has a right to appoint an agent to accept the get on her behalf. If you do that, then the yad does not color how shlichut works. Shlichut is one vehicle. Yad is a different vehicle. Since shlichut is not under the auspices of yad, it doesn't have to conform to the principles of Yad. Shlichut is its own vehicle. On the other hand, Matana and Chatzer, which are an extension or under the auspices of Yad, they have to function like Yad. And he says that's different. Shlichut is an independent method, and that method has its own rules. Yad is its own method, and it has to have its own rules too. But if you are now included because of Yad, you have to function like Yad. Vibaitema, Shlichut de Kabbalah, Nami Ashkachan Baal Korcha. We also actually have acceptance on behalf of the woman against her will, and therefore it's not a problem because Shekena Av Mikabel get the Bitok Tana Baal Korcha. A father who married off his daughter while she's a minor, if the husband wants to divorce that daughter, he can give the get to the father, and she is divorced, again, against her will. So therefore, the father becomes, in a sense, an agent of the young girl. Therefore, they have agency, Baal Korcha. And we have an example of agency, Baal Korcha, and that means that agency might work, even because it does have both aspects. It has aspects of Midata, and has aspects of Baal Korcha, because there are points where you could have, quote-unquote, an agent, act without the acquiescence, or without the knowledge of the receiving woman who's being divorced over here, when she is a minor. She doesn't have to be a minor, she could even be a Nara. She can't be a Bogeret, she can't have independent ownership. The truth is that it's done here even against the will of the father. It's not just against the will of the daughter. The husband can hand the get to the father without the acquiescence or knowledge of the father. But that is effective as a get against the will or without Baal Korcha of the girl, and the father's acting as the agent of the girl in this case, because he's a bardat who can accept on her behalf. And because of that, you have even an example within Shlichut that it can be done Baal Korcha, and that would solve the problem for Abaye as well. Your point is well taken, which is that that's one unique case within Shlichut where you have Baal Korcha. What we're saying is, and this is the way the Gemara is approaching this, is as long as you can find one manifestation of Baal Korcha within that vehicle is a good vehicle, even though most of the time it won't have that effect. As long as within that vehicle we can find a manifestation of Baal Korcha, that is sufficient. Tosafot would then ask the question, well, then don't you have the same thing by the case of Matana? Which is, Tosafot says over here, Vatema, Matana Nami, Afagav Deleta Baal Korcha, Nehavi Dumya Diyada. There is a case of Baal Korcha by a Chatzer. It's a case where she already owned the Chatzer. And since she owned the Chatzer already, you can throw the get into that Chatzer and it will work Baal Korcha. So why don't we say just like it works when she has the Chatzer beforehand, it should also work now when she gets the Chatzer now. Because there is a manifestation of Chatzer Baal Korcha. So he says, Vomer Rabbi Yitzchak, says that it doesn't work the same way because she has a way to disengage from that chatzer. If she owns the chatzer beforehand, she can stop the chatzer from acting on her behalf by relinquishing her rights, by being mafkir the chatzer itself. And therefore, since she does retain control because she can't sever her relationship with the chatzer, that is not considered to be Baal Korcha. And so therefore we don't have an example within Chatzer that works Baal Korcha. The Rabbi Kiva Ege over here questions the Tosafot and says, what happens if it's a Ketana? Ketana who owns a Chatzer. A Ketana does not have the ability to relinquish rights or hand over property rights. Tanim can have ownership, but they can't transact in that ownership. We assume that they can acquire a property and they can own it, but they can't give over and they cannot relinquish control over the property. So here this Ketana, say she inherited it from her father. It came through Yerusha, so it automatically came into her possession. She owns this Chatzer. She cannot relinquish rights to that Chatzer and make it be mafkir it because she doesn't have the dat to do that. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, I can come up with a case of Chatzer Baal Korcha. You could argue, and what you'd have to say is the answer is that it's not the same. Tosfot equates here Chatzer that she owns beforehand to a case where the Chatzer comes into her possession. That's already an assumption that those two Chatzerot look alike, and therefore Chatzer is working Baal Korcha in some manifestation. It should work also over here. But it's not really a case of Matana in that case, and maybe that's why you cannot equate the cases. Tosafot also over here says something that is unique to Tosafot's Shita by Metziah, the Zachen Adam Shelo Bifanav. Because you're allowed to be Zoche to, for someone not in front of them. Im Gain, Hacha Dichtav Lashtar Matana Lav, Afagav Dolavia Dumia Diada, the Matana Leta Baal Korcha Titgaresh Mikoach Shlichut. Tosfot asks a question here that's only true of his Shita, which we saw earlier already in the Masechta, which is that Tosfot believes Zechia is Mishum Shlichut. When you are Zoche for a person on their behalf, you take into your possession something that is to the benefit of another party, Why are they acting as your agent? How do they act as your agent? How does someone accept something on your behalf when it's to your benefit? Someone gives a gift, and then a third party accepts the gift on your behalf so that the gifter can't back out of it, can't take it back. That's a zchut for you. That is something that is to your benefit. How is the person who accepts it on your behalf, how are they an extension of you? Tosfot said earlier in the Masechta, we discussed it there, that it's mishum shlichut. Well, if it works mishum shlichut, then Tosfot's problem over here is that here, by the case of matana, you're gifting the chatzer to the woman. If someone accepts the gift on behalf of the woman, then she'll be zoche because it's zachin shadam shalofanav, and then automatically the get should come along because shlichut works. Right? We don't need bal korcha. We have a different vehicle. So that should work mishum shlichut. So Tosfot has a problem. The Sota Choshen there, who argues on that Balei Tosfot and says that Zechiyaz Mishum Yad doesn't have that problem. Because if Zechiyaz Mishum Yad, then you're back to the case of Matana, and it has to work only with her acquiescence, not Baal Korcha, and he doesn't have that problem. But Tosfot, who thinks that Zechiyaz Mishum Shlichot, says, why doesn't it work over here? Says, V'yash Lamar, the Dafka Le'inyan Shelo B'fanav Amrina Delo Gara Mishlichot Liknot Midei Dizchut Ulo. Bashar Dvarim Bein and Dumi Adiyada. He says that only this one issue, that it doesn't have to be literally in front of you, do we differentiate shlichut from yada. But with the arts to everything else, when zchiyas mishom shlichut, it works like yad. And has to function like yad in every other way. The only exception to that rule is it doesn't have to be done in front of the individual. Zachin shalo bifanav. You can do zchiyat, not in front of the individual. But otherwise, all the other trappings of yad have to apply over here. So Tosfot is stuck in a bind. Because he thinks Zechiyaz Mishum Shlichot, he has to figure out a way to get around the problem here that the Matana is being accepted and has to be done with her acquiescence and not Baal Korcha. Versus anybody else who believes Zechiyaz Mishum Yad, it's obvious why it doesn't work over here, because Yad only works in a case where it works both with your acceptance or without your Baal Korcha, and the Yad doesn't work that way in the case of Zechiyah. But here, where Tosfot thinks it's some shlichut doesn't have that issue at all. And so then Tosfot has to change the character of Zechiyah Mishum Shlichut to say, it is like shlichut, but it has a lot of characteristics like yad. And because of that, then over here it doesn't work. And that's how Tosfot gets out of the problem. But again, it's a problem that's unique to Tosfot's shita, that Zechiyah Mishum Shlichut. Now the Gemara continues, back to the Mishnah, which says that you can write a get on a alesh al zayit. You can write it on a leaf of a olive tree. So the Gemara over here, Tosfot says on the top, you can see this, the top Tosfot on the Amud Bet says, Alesh Ozayit, Davka Alesh Ozayit, Ki Yotzibo Demitkayim. Tosfot makes it clear here, the reason that the Mishnah picked a leaf of a Zayit is because it has a long duration. It lasts, and it's based on a Tosefta. There's a Tosefta here in Gittin that says it has to be a Davar Sheh Mitkayim. Not only does the ink have to be a Davar Sheh Mitkayim, the writing material that you're writing on must also be a Davar Sheh Mitkayim, and that is a Tosefta that's found here in Gittin. It's also a Tosefta in Shabbat with regards to the Melacha of Ketiva on Shabbat. And Tosfot in both places says you need writing material and ink that is Mitkayim. Both aspects have the Mitkayim. The Rambam, on the other hand, differentiates. By Shabbat, he agrees that it has to be a Davar Mitkayim, meaning that both the ink and the writing surface has to be a Davar Mitkayim. Over here in Gittin, he does not say that. The Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayot over here says with regards to an Aleh Shel Zayit, V'chamim Rehim Ipnei Shamar Sefer Bilti Hei Hayidia, V'lomar Allah Sefer, Obe Sefer Yenei Hitir Kol Mash Efshar Aktiva Bo. Anything you can write on is fine. There's no demand that it be a Davar Shel Kayaman, same thing in Mishnah Torah. He does not think that the object that you write on must be a Davar Shel Mitkayim. He says that's an Aleh Shel Zayit, is something that is not Mitkayim, even though it might last longer than other leaves. It's not considered to be something that's Mitkayim. Therefore, the Rambam by Gittin differentiates between Gittin and Shabbat. The reason might be because there's a difference in what you need in Shabbat and what you need in Gittin. By Shabbat, you need Davar Shem Mitkayim. You have to have writing that has a permanence to it. That permanence comes both from the ink and from the surface on which you are writing. You have to have both of them there in order to have accomplished Ktiva. Over here, by Gittin, the issue of Davar Mitkayim is less pronounced. Because all you need over here is ktiva. You need simply writing that can be given over to the woman. Once the woman has received it, you don't need the writing to be there anymore. So you just need the writing or the ink that's used to be a Davar Mitzkayim, but the actual writing itself does not have to last. I mean, what you have written does not have to last. As opposed to on Shabbat, it's a Melechet Machshevet, which requires you to write with permanent materials, And then to have the writing last, because then you've done something that has permanence to it. You've done something that is of significance so that you're chayav in Shabbat. Over here by Gittin, we're not after the lasting of the ktiva. We simply need you to write a sefer kritut, and that sefer kritut just needs to be handed to the woman. How long that sefer kritut lasts is irrelevant in Gittin, because there all you need is the katav law, that he writes it, and he wrote it. So if he wrote it, and what we have here is writing, then that's sufficient in order to give the get. And therefore, you don't need this idea of permanence. You don't need it to be something that it lasts forever in terms of the writing. And therefore, the Rambam here differentiates between Gittin, where ktiva on a surface that's not mitkayim is sufficient, whereas ktiva by Shabbat requires a surface that is mitkayim in order to be considered a melechet machshevet. So you need both something that is written that will last and therefore have impact. And that's how you are violating the melech on Shabbat. By Gittin, the focus is only on the ktiva itself, not on the tozaah, the outcome of that ktiva. You have to do ktiva lishma. You have to do the ktiva with ink that is mitkayim, so that it's called a maisa ktiva. But as far as mitkayim, that it lasts for a long time, that is not necessarily a demand in Gittin, because the get is just a method for divorce. It's not a shtar raya. It's not something that has to last for a long time afterwards. It's simply a vehicle for the divorce itself. It might also function later on as a shtar raya, but that's not its primary purpose according to the Torah. According to the Torah, the get is done for a momentary kiyum of the divorce. And therefore, you don't need it to be written on something that is mitkayim. You don't need the outcome or the tozaah to be a davar mitkayim. And that's why maybe the Rambam differentiates by Gittin and says you don't need to have it on a material that is mitkayim. There are other ways to explain the Shita of the Rambam based on his girsa in the Mishnah here, that the Mishnah in Gittin, the Rambam has a slightly different girsa than our Mishnah. We noted this when we read it. Difference between Kayama and Roshim, where with regards to the writing materials, it doesn't say that it has to be Davar Shul Kayama, but rather Davar Shirishimo Nikar. And based on that, that might explain the Rambam's difference in opinion, especially since he might believe that our Mishnah argues on the Tosefta that says that you need a material that is mitkayim. The Gemara now says about Aleh Shel Zayit, Bishlama Yad Eved Lo Efshar Lemitzei Elo Keren Shel Para Lekzei Vilit Velo. So we understand that the examples that were given in the Mishnah as to what they get was written on, right, so we have a Aleh Shel Zayit, a Yad Shel Eved, the Eved's arm, and we have the example of the Keren of the Para. So we understand by the Eved that you cannot take the Eved's arm off and hand it to the woman. And that's why he hands the whole Eved to the woman and not the arm of the Eved. Now, Rashi over here, it's very interesting because it's not taken for granted that you couldn't just take the Eved's arm off. So Rashi gives here a number. He says, first of all, the Shaykh b'mitzvot. The Eved is Shaykh b'mitzvot, and therefore, Einu Rashai l'chavelbo. You're not allowed to then injure him because he is a Bnei Brit, in that sense, he's Jewish, and he's Chayav in Mitzvot Kisha, not fully Jewish, but at least partially converted, and for that reason, you can't be Chovel in him. Im Chaval bo, you'd say the Cherut Beroshei Avarim. And if you do injure him on a significant limb, then he goes free. Almain Roshei the Chaval bo. Therefore, you see, he's not able to, you're not allowed to hurt him. So it's interesting, Rashi is struggling here to tell you that you can't chop the arm of your Eved off. Because, again, in a sense, if you view your Eved as property, why can't you chop off the arm? So Rashi gives two reasons, one of which is brought by the other Rishonim as well. One is which is that he's a bar mitzvah, meaning that he's part of the world of Bnei Brit, of mitzvot, and therefore you're asur, like you're asur to hurt anybody that's a Jewish. You can't be chovel in them. So it's over here, you can't be chovel in your Eved. Secondarily, or for other Rishonim, this is the primary reason, if you cut the arm off, the Eved goes free, he's no longer your Eved. So it's not going to work anymore, because then the get's not your get anymore, and the husband's not giving his get to the woman. For one of those two reasons, you cannot sever the arm of the Eved. Ella, Karen shel para, why don't you just sever, take off the Karen, the horn, and hand it to her? Why do you have to hand her the whole para? So this is something that we've mentioned numerous times in the Masechta, Amar Kra, Bekotov, Vinatana, that you have to write it, and then give it to her. Mi she'enu mechusar elek tiva minitina. That the only thing that can separate between the writing of the get and the woman becoming divorced is nitina, the giving of the get. If there's any other pular activity that has to take place in between, that is a problem. Yotzezeh, shemuschusar ktiva, ktitza v'nitina. That excludes the case here where you'd have to have another action take place in between or in the interim, which is you wrote the get, You severed the get and then gave it to her. That severing in between causes the get to be pasul, because you have to do an activity between the writing of the get and the giving of the get to the woman. Again, we've discussed this many times. It has to be, once the get's written, it can be given directly to the woman. So over here, if he gives the whole parat, it works. If he severs the horn, it won't work. This leads to, you can see here, there's a big Tosafot over here, a major machloket. Tosafot already quotes it as a machloket in the Geonim, and then he quotes it as a machloket within the Balia Tosafot themselves. And that is, Perish Rabbeinu Shmuel's the Rashbam, Dafka be'balei chayim o be'mechuber lekarka. This whole idea of severing or taking it off and doing tzitzat is posel to get is only true by living beings and something that is attached to the ground. Shokar davar migidulo chashiv mechusar tzitzat. Because cutting something from where its natural growth is a lack of pi'ula, meaning that there has to be an activity to sever it from its natural area of growth, and that severing is a problem. What's an example otherwise? What happens if they write a get on a very large piece of parchment? And then they cut the parchment in half to take the get away from the larger piece of parchment. So over there you have ktsitsa. Is that ktsitsa considered to be a mechusar maser or not? Well, it's not in the place, it's not no longer attached to the animal, it's no longer attached to its natural place of growth, it's just too big a piece of parchment. So when you sever it from the larger piece of parchment, is that mechusar ktsitsa or not? So the Rashbam claims over here that mechusar ktsitsa only applies to taking things that are mechubar lekarka, something that's growing naturally on the individual. You cut something from a bigger piece of paper, no problem at all in terms of a get. That is the shita of the Rashbam. He says, "V'chein perush harav Rabbi Shmaya beperusho v'imkatav get beklaf gadol v'acharkach hatchol lefi zeh kasher." On the other hand, "Umaseya bimei Rabbi Yitzchok b'Rabbi Menachem upaslo v'nechlu alav gdolei ador u'bahag posel v'chein Rabbi Dayan utam haya machmir." And you see here, the Rishonim and Geonim are lining up on both sides of this argument as to whether ktsitsa is only applicable to examples like the animal over here in gedulei karka, or it also applies to a large piece of parchment where you pull out the get. After you've written it, you slice it out of that large piece of parchment. Is that a problem? According to the Rashbam, no. According to the Bahag and to the Rabbeinu Tam, they think it is problematic. Now, it actually rests upon how you explain the Gemara at the end of today's daf. When we get there, you'll see about severing things from their natural habitat. But that's the way that is a, you should know there's a huge machloket about this. In addition, even those people who say it's pasul, that's only true when you are taking it out of like a much bigger parchment. If you have a piece of parchment that has like a little border around it, and you make the borders round, or you make it nice, you slice off a little piece, the trimming of the parchment, almost everybody agrees there, b'diavad, that it'll be fine. And that you don't have to worry about that. That ktsitsa is not a mechutzar ktsitsa, because it was fine beforehand. You were just printing it up or making it nicer or more user-friendly, but that's not considered to be a mechusar ktsitsa. The Mishnah ended off with Rabbi Yossi Aglili saying you're not allowed to use balei chayim. You're not allowed to use anything that's alive to give a get. So he argues on the Chachamim before, who said that items that are like an eved or a behemah that you can use for writing a get. The Gemara says, what's the reasoning? My time with the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Tanya, sefer, and we have a sefer. It says that you have to have a sefer kritut. So it sounds like you have to use something that is called the sefer. Minayin the rabot kol davar. How do I know you have to include everything? Tamalomar v'kotav la. Mikol makom. Says you write her a get. Sounds like you can write her on anything you want. There's no specific material that is defined when you say v'kotav la. Imkein d'ma tamalomar sefer. So then why does the Torah say sefer if you can write it on anything? Ma sefer davar shein bo ruach chayim ve'eino ochel. Just like a sefer is something that's not alive, and it's not a food. So too, only objects that are not alive and are not food can you use. What you have here is what otherwise is known as a klal uprat uchlal. The only problem is that Rabbi Yossi Galili and this reasoning of the Gemara only brought two things. It brought a klal, the kotav la, and then sefer, which is a prat. And generally, if you have a klal uprat, ein baklal ala mashu baprat, you'd be limited simply to a sefer. So Tosafot says that this Gemara implies, or implied in this Gemara, is that there is another klal here, even though the Gemara does not mention it explicitly. And it's really v'kotav, la, sefer, and v'natan. And so there you have klal, two klals on either side, the prat in the middle, and it's elo ke'ena prat. And that's what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying, is what's ke'ena prat here? It's not alive, and it's not food. And that's what qualifies to be a get. Rabbanon, what do the Rabbanon do? This is the limud of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. How do the Rabbanon deal with the limudim here? Iktiv bisefer kidamart. If it was said that you have to write a bis sefer kritut, then I would agree with you. Hashadiktiv sefer, it just writes generically, sefer l'sfirat dvarhim hu da'ata. That has come to tell you that it has to be done through the writing of what is transpiring over here. That you can write on anything you want, but you have to write it, tell over what you're doing in this sefer kritut. Rabbanan Iva Kotov Mayav Dilei. What do they do with Kotov La? Tosfot also points out over here that the word Katab is written twice in the Parsha of Gitin, because we already have a Kotov La teaches us that it has to be Lishma. So there's also another Vekotov that can function for this other Limud. Vekotov Mayav Dilei Mibailo Biktiva Mitkareshiv and Mitkareshiv Bekesef. That tells us that through writing she gets divorced, not through money. Sakadat Kamina, I would have thought money could function as the way to get divorced. Akish Yitziala Havaya. Because we have a hekesh there in the pasuk, it says, Vayatzav Haitali Ish Acher. She'll be divorced and then go marry someone else. That Vayatzav Haita gives us a hekesh to teach us that just like writing a shtar works for divorce, so too a shtar works for kiddushin. So the Gemara says, well, now we'll work backwards now. Now that we know that kiddushin is also good with kesef, let us say that gitin also, divorce can work through kesef. So we have a limud here that says kota, which means ktivav works, but not kesef. Mahavaya b'kesef, yitziyah b'kesef, kamash v'lan, that the kotav says only through a shtar, not through kesef. V'idach, how does Rabbi Yossi clearly know that? Nafkalei misefer kritut. Sefer korta, v'in daver acher korta. That from the whole phrase there, which is that a sefer creates the kritut and not anything else. V'idach m'bailei davar koreit b'no l'veina. So what did they use the word kritut for? Because they only use the word sefer, the Rabbanan. So what do they use kritut? To tell you it has to be something that severs their relationship completely. The Kidatanya, the Brita, which we'll see later on in the Masechta, her Zekitech, Amanach lo tishti yayin, Amanach lo telchi le beit avich, if he gives her a get on the condition she won't drink wine, or on the condition that she won't go to her father's house, leolam, forever, ein zekritut. That is not a severing of the relationship, because in a sense, the husband retains a certain amount of control over her life, or what she does, in the residual after the divorce. And therefore, it's not a severing of their relationship completely. Ad shloshim yom, he says, until 30 days, har zeh kritut. Because then there is a termination of his control over her, and then there is a complete severing of the relationship. As long as there is a time limitation to that, then the severing of the relationship can take place. If there's no time limit to it, then he never relinquishes control over her, and there's no kritut. V'idach, where does Rabbi Yosef Lee learn out this din from? Mikaret kritut. Could have just written sefer karet. The fact that it writes a sefer kritut, the singular to the plural, gives us the extra limud. Bidach and the chachamim, karet kritut lo darshe. They don't darshan that. They don't think that that is enough of a reason to darshan an extra limud out of there. So here you have a machloke between the chachamim and Rabbi Yosef Aglili as to whether you have this klal upratuchla, which defines the writing material. Rabbi Yosef Aglili thinks there is. And therefore, you have to write on something that's ke'ein aprat, which is a sefer. Whereas the Chachamim believe that it, because of love, you can write on anything you want. There is no limitation onto what you write. And they use all of these words, these limudim, for other information to teach us you can't get divorced through kesef, that a divorce has to be complete severing of the relationship, and that sefer kritut, you have to do sfirat dvarim. You have to explain within the get what you're doing, which means harei at muter dechol adam. You have to write that language that explains exactly what's transpiring here inside of the get. Next Mishnah. Ein kotvim b'mechubar dekarka. You're not allowed to write something on something that is attached to the ground. Again, this is an extension of what we were just discussing, because it's mechusar k'tzitza. You have a problem that you'd have to sever it after the writing in order to do that. The Rishonim over here argue about why we don't say the same thing we said in the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we said if you wrote it on the Karen HaPara, or the Yada Eved, and then you give the whole Eved or the Para to the woman, it's a good get. Why don't we say the same here by Mechuber the Karka? So he can't be Tolesha, because it's a problem. Why don't we just give her the whole Karka? And if he gives her the whole Karka, it should be a good get. So the Rishonim say one of two things to solve that problem. Either it says Venatan biyada. Venatan implies, Venatan biyad implies metaltalin, things that are not real property, things that are movable objects. We find that at the end of Sefer Vayikra, with regards to exchanges of Kinyan Miyad Yad, that Benatan Yad references to Metaltalim and not to Karka. The other possibility is based on the Ushami. The Ushami says that the word Sefer Kritut, unlike what we said above for the Rabbanon, that they learn out from that Sfirat Dvarim, they have the same Klal Upratu Klal that Rabbi Yosef Aglili has, But they just differentiate what the Keina Prat is. And they say Sefer, Ma Sefer Davara Talush. So too, anything that's Talush is good. But from that, you see, Mechuber Lekarka is absolutely Asur. And you can't use it whatsoever based on the Yushalmi. And that's what they see over here, that the Mechuber Lekarka. The problem with that is our Gemara later on seems to indicate that the only reason you can't use an Atzitz Nakuv, that's Mechuber Lekarka, is because of Gzeira. And not because fundamentally there's a problem with Mechuber Lekarka. According to the Yushalmi, there should be a fundamental problem with Mechuber Lekarka, and therefore many of the Rishonim favor the understanding of Natan B'yada, being that it has to be Metaltalim and not something that is real property. Katavo B'mechubar, if you did write it on something that was attached to the animal, Talasho V'chatamo, if then he severs it and signs it, Netanola, and then gives it to her, Kasher, then it works. So obviously there's a stira here within the Mishnah, which says, you're not allowed to write it in Chubar, and it says, well, if you do write it in Chubar, don't worry about it, you give it and it could be kasher. Rabbi Yehuda posel, achtei ktivato v'chatimato bitalush. Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to have ktiva and chatima bitalush. This Rabbi Yehuda, you should remember back from Dalet Amud Aleph, because over there, Rav Ashi brought Rabbi Yehuda as the source for the Tana for Rabba's opinion. Rabba's opinion in the first Mishnah was that you need to do it lishma. B'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam is because we need the get to be lishma. Over there, Rabba makes it sound like you need both the ktiva lishma and the chatima lishma. So the Gemara says, who has an opinion like that? Rabbi Meir only requires the chatima lishma. Rabbi Elazar only requires that the ktiva be lishma, not the chatima. Where do we ever find a Tana who believes that you need both the ktiva and the chatima lishma? So the Gemara over there went through different options. Then Rav Asher comes along and goes, no problem, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the sheet that the Rabbah holds like, because you see over here, Rabbi Yehuda requires you that you do the ktiva and the chatima b'talush, which means that he thinks that both of those have to be done lishma or have to be written properly. The reason that he needs this is because he requires both the chatima and the ktiva to be lishma. And this is the Tana upon which Rabbah's sheet is built, that you need both ktiva and chatima lishma according to Rav Asher. So this is the Rabbi Yehuda that they mentioned back on Daf Dalet. This is the Rabbi Yehuda they were referencing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteiro Omer Ein Kol Tvim Lo Al Niyar Amachuk Lo La Diftera Mipnei Shu Yachol Lehizdayef. Now let's write on paper. Paper here is not paper in the sense that we have today. Paper over there was a more along the lines of a papyrus where it's made out of organic material. Or the Diftera, which we'll discuss in the Gemara more extensively, is a certain pi. Here he believes that on those two materials, you can erase it without it being noticeable. Or you can change what's written in it without it being noticeable, and that's a problem. The Chamim say it's not a problem. Again, that machlok will be explained in the Gemara. Katavo ala mechubar. It says that you can write it on something that's attached. Ramar's reisha in kodvim. Didn't you say that you can't write it? Amar Yehuda mashmo, v'hu shishier makom ha-toref. That the way we solve this problem is that they leave the toref blank. The toref is the main elements of the get, Rashi says over here. Giluyav shel shtar. Toref usually means something like exposure. Even in the sense of indecent exposure, that's what toref means. But over here, the toref shel shtar means the exposure of the shtar. What's that? Makom ha'ish v'isha zman. The key elements of the get, which is the man, the woman, and the time, the date of the shtar, those are the key elements. If you leave those out, and then you sever it, and then you write those, that's fine. V'chein amar Rav Elazar, amar Rav Hoshaya, v'hu shishir makom ha'toref. V'chein amar Rav Barchan, amar Rav Yochanan, v'hu shishir makom ha'toref. All of them believe that you left out that place. V'Rav Elazar he, and the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, who says, Eide Misira Karte. And so, since Eide Misira Karte, then what does he do with the word katav? He says the katav means you have to write the actual get lishma. And the requirement for writing the get lishma means the internal part of the get. Forget about the Eidim. We don't need Eidim at all. Eidim is Sira Karate. So Kotav comes to teach you that the get must be lishma. Lachi Kamar. Ein kotvim tofes, shem yichtov toref. The mission says, don't write the boilerplate language of the get, because you might fill in the other material, and that'll be a problem. Katavoda tofes, if you wrote the boilerplate material already, vitalasho, then you sever it, v'katavo the toref, and then you wrote the key elements after it was already severed, v'netano la kasher, then it works. That's b'diavad. V'chatchila, even Rabbi Elazar agrees, don't write the boilerplate material while it's attached, because you might come to write even the ikar part of the get while it's attached. But if you left out the ikar part, and then you severed it and wrote it, that's k'tiva lishma. And for Rabbi Elazar, that's all you need. You need the k'tiva lishma, and then you do Eidei Mesira, and everything is fine. And according to this, when it says v'chatamo in the Mishnah, it doesn't mean to sign it, but rather to complete it. That the chatima is the completion of the get, and that is the writing of the Torah into the get after it already was severed. Resh Lakish amar chatamo shaninu. This is what David, you were saying. It doesn't say that he wrote it. He says that he signed it after it was already detached. Well, who requires the signatures be lishma and not the ktiva lishma? That's the shita of Rabbi Meir, who says that edi chatima karte. So Rabbi Meir, he damar edi chatima karte, and therefore the only requirement of doing lishma is the edim, the chotamim, the signatories to the get. The whole get can be written bechubar. The whole get can be written shlo lishma. The only thing you need lishma is the edim that sign on the get, and that's what happened here. They were told lishit, and then they signed it afterwards. So Rabbi Shlokish says that the author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. That's what Tosfot said back on Daf Gimel Amud Bet. The Gemara brought this Mishnah to prove the sheet of Rabbi Meir, to show you that Rabbi Meir only needs Chatima Lishma, not Ketiba Lishma. Tosfot over there says that's only according to the sheet of Rabbi Shlokish. According to Rabbi Yochanan and all the other Amoraim, this Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Elazar. Again, these are things that Tosfot and the Gemara mentioned earlier. Now you're seeing them here. This is what they were referencing to. Only Reish Lakish believes that it's Rabbi Meir, and he says that whole Gemara back there that says that Rabbi Meir's Shita is Ketiva, does not have to be Lishma, but Chetima is Lishma. Out of this Mishnah, it's only according to the Shita of Reish Lakish. V'achi kamar, and this is what it's meant when Rabbi Meir is the author. Ein kotvim toref gzeira shemiyachtom. We don't allow you to write any of the get, the major parts of the get, before it's severed, because you might come to sign it while it's still attached. Katavola toref, if you wrote the whole get before it was detached, talasho, then chatamo, and then you signed it after it was already severed, v'natanola kasher, because the chatima in the end was done in a severed location. Now, katavo al-cheres shel adzitz nakuv, kasher. If he writes it on the pottery, you have a planter that has a hole in it. Adzitz nakuv means it has a hole in it, it's sitting in the ground. Since it has a hole in it, it's considered in a sense to be mechubar lakarka. But here he wrote it on the pot, not on the plant. So he writes on the pot, kasher, the shakule, vayvele niyala, because he could just pick up the pot and hand it to her and it's not a problem. What happens if he writes it on a leaf of the plant that's in this planter that has a hole in it? Abai amar kasher. Abai says it's fine, rav amar pasul. It's no good. Abai amar kasher, the shakule, vayvele niyala. The same way that you can give the pot to her, so too, you can hand the plant to her in the pot, and it doesn't change anything. There's no mechusar tzitza over here. On the other hand, Rav Amar, pasul, gzeira shemiyiktom. He says it's pasul because you might come to pick the leaf off. As opposed to the pottery or the planter itself, nobody's going to break the planter to get the shard of pottery with the get on it to give to her. So that we see as being a single unit. And therefore, when he hands her the pot, we assume that when the get's written on the pot, he's going to give the whole pot to her. We're not worried about him pulling it off. And therefore, there's no issue of tlishar ktsitsa in the interim. On the other hand, if he writes it on the leaf that's in this pot, he might just clip the leaf and hand it to her. He doesn't have to hand her the whole plant. Bai says he's just going to hand her the plant, just like he would hand the planter to her, he's going to hand her the whole plant. But Rabba says we have to worry about shema yiktom. Maybe he will take off the leaf, and this is considered to be mechuber the karka because it has a hole in it. This actually influences heavily the sugya that we saw before. Because the fact that everybody allows you to give the pot when it's written on the pot, Rashi says that's because you wouldn't break the pot into shards. Other Rishonim believe that's because there's no problem of doing ktsitsa on a dover talush. And that proves their opinion that you're allowed to break something that is already talush. And if you break the pottery, then it would be fine to hand her the shard of pottery with the get on it because that's not a ktsitsa. Because it's a davar atalush. Others focus on the atzitz nakuv aspect of it, which is because it's an atzitz nakuv, that's why Rava is guzer. Had it been an atzitz she'ein a nakuv, if it was something that did not have a horn, it was not considered mechuber lekarka, and you picked off the leaf, then even Rava would agree that it was fine. So again, proof to the fact that when it's not mechuber lekarka, you can be tolesh. There are Rishonim that argue on both of those points. You see here Rashi suggesting that the reason the kli cheres isn't a problem is because people don't break. There's no reason to break the pot in order to give her the get. You would just give her the pot for the get. And with regards to atzitz she'ein a nakuv, they argue the reason that it's atzitz nakuv is not to tell you that if it was ein a nakuv, that Rava would say that it's okay, but rather to teach you the shita of Abaye, that even though it's nakuv, and it should be considered mechuber lekarka, Abaye doesn't worry about you cutting off the leaf or gzeira shemiktom, he just thinks you're going to give the pot. And that's why they said atzitz nakuv, to show you the strength of Abaye's position. So your pshita with regards to tzitza on things that are not mechuber the karka will heavily influence how you view the different parts or aspects of this gemara here with regards to the atzitz nakuv and writing on the klicheres and writing on the alesh of the atzitz nakuv. That will influence what you think is the problem when you take a big piece of parchment and slice off a smaller piece from it. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Chafbet Amud Aleph.